Just because people don't like it and they have no use for it, that don't mean it's garbage.
A lot of artists, architects, and designers today use trash the way that earlier artists used pigment or paint or marble as their media. The artist Robert Rauschenberg once said that a painting is more like the real world if it's made out of the real world. Starting back in the 1950s, Rauschenberg would pull together automobile tires, old fabric, street signs, and flattened cardboard boxes to create part sculpture, part painting. He and many artists like him have discovered that out of these kinds of discarded parts, one can discover and create something new, even transcendent. Neil Kirkwood teaches landscape architecture at the Graduate School of Design at Harvard, and throughout his career, he's found new uses and new ways of thinking about toxic sites and closed landfills. Neil Kirkwood, welcome to Studio 360.
Delighted to talk to you, Kurt.
So, do you love trash, or did you just stumble into sort of a life surrounded by old stuff?
Well, I do love trash, but probably for about 25, 30 years, I've been working on sites where trash has been the main element.
But was your attraction, was it romantic, or was it more a sort of socially charged mission? I must clean up these places.
Well, I think you get past the romantic stage quite early on. But I think it was partly advocacy at first, a mission to try and clean them up. And then realizing after a while that one could tackle that many different ways. One could, for example, say they were terrible places. As a culture, we should attempt not to generate waste and trash. And then, of course, you realize that at a certain point, you have to stop doing that. And then you have to talk about the reality of these places.
Meaning you have to stop generating the trash or stop just bemoaning the trash?
Bemoaning the trash. You know, there's a certain point where you can only kind of take that line of reasoning so far. And you have to say, well, what can we do? So I felt, why don't I actually use my energy and efforts and skills to really bring them back to life? Not because I feel that they are evil, but simply that these are important places that people need to reoccupy. But I do like to maintain the character of the landfill. I find them extremely beautiful. I find some of the shapes extremely interesting. And in the end, they are a true reflection of man's work. It's actually sort of marrying together of technical concerns with environmental concerns, with spatial and visual concerns. They all kind of come together.
Well, it's funny. You say, when we spoke earlier, you said you get over the romance fairly quickly, but it sounds like 26 years into this, you still have a kind of romantic, maybe perversely romantic, but romantic view of these kinds of places that most people regard as something to hold their nose and pass by as quickly as possible.
Well, I think perverse romanticism may be it, Kurt. But clearly, I am drawn to these places as I'm drawn to maybe other places of similar ruination in the city, old railway yards and things like that, simply because to me they sort of represent a kind of palimpsest, a kind of layers of different periods of time, different histories. The smell, you can come or take it or leave it. These are not pretty in the kind of conventional sense, but the romanticism comes from notions of wildness, roughness. The thing is not finished. It's ongoing. It's a process that carries on.
You say that these landfills and these heaps of trash are not static things. They change over time. It strikes me when you say that also that how we define trash is also is not a static, fixed idea. I suppose it clearly depends on whether you're in a suburb of Chicago or Calcutta, what you define as trash, or it depends on if you're in 1850 or 2003 to a great deal. I mean, what we think of as trash, somebody in another place or another time would not necessarily.
I think you're right. In a sense, if you want to see a measure of our culture and society, just look at the trash they're producing, and you'll get a very good sense of where they are, where we are right at this present moment. One of the interesting things, of course, maybe as a child you did this, but I used to like to kind of dig around in what used to be called midden heaps, or places where people at the turn of the century used to throw their trash.
Mm-hmm.
And you could dig down and the joy of finding old bottles, you know, from about 1910.
Where was this? Where did you grow?
This was in Scotland, in the United Kingdom, or going to old canals, which were built in the 19th century, where, of course, people used to casually throw their what we call garbage in, and finding mustard pots that were imported from France, finding ink pots for quill pens, finding the bones of animals, finding all sorts of things. It was a messy business, by the way. You had to get down in the mud and grope around. But there was something kind of very interesting in a kind of archaeological way.
Well, I was going to say, last month's garbage becomes next year's archaeological relic, I guess.
That's right. And therefore, I think there's a great interest. For example, I talked about landfill mining, where people are literally taking stuff out of the trash, out of the mine, out of the landfills, which now have some intrinsic value. What you threw away in the 60s, 1960s, by the way, not 1860, 1960s. And what they're doing is interesting. They're pulling up newspapers and telephone directories and things like that from that period, which now have some intrinsic value.
And the things from 40 years ago are in a physical shape to be reused?
Now, this is the very interesting thing. We have always been told that organic materials, you know, paper, will break down in landfills. However, if you take away oxygen because of the compression of the landfill, they remain, as it were, frozen in time. And they're pulling out pretty good, fairly readable documents from the 60s through this process.
Really? So
ironic.
It's an archive as well as a landfill.
Yeah, it's like a core, as it were, through history. And ironically, plastics, which were deemed, you know, the non-destructible, are actually breaking down. So that I find kind of really interesting.
It is indeed. One more example of everything you know is wrong.
Yeah.
My guest today is the landscape architect and trash expert, Neil Kirkwood. Coming up, we're going to hear about how one artist fell in love with the New York City Sanitation Department.